The feast that we celebrate today has been for centuries a very wonderful and very exceptional feast, a very exceptional and wonderful person. The feast of St. Charles Borromeo. St. Charles was born of the Borromeo and Medici families. His mother was a Medici. Now both families, especially the Medici, provided for the church holy pontiffs, supreme pontiffs for the whole church. And at the same time, however, there were many people in those families that were very evil and very immoral. So it wasn't like he was totally sheltered. But he was sheltered by his desire to do God's will. He, as a very, very young man, he decided that he was going to be following in the vocation of many of his fellow family members and entered the seminary, began the studies for the priesthood. And when he was not even a priest yet, he was only 18 or 17 years old, his uncle, the Pope, made him a cardinal of the church. That's very unique. Obviously something that is against the law today, but not then. And so, even before he was a priest, he was a cardinal. In the meantime, he made him archbishop of the home diocese of the Borromeo family, Milan, the largest, richest diocese in the church, which it still is, even with all the craziness of this age. And Milan has its own rite. Now we have the Roman rite. Milan has the rite of St. Ambrose, the Ambrosian rite. Very similar, but also very different from the Roman rite. So he became Archbishop of Milan, very young archbishop in his early 20s, and he began to do that which the Holy Council of Trent had commanded. He was right around that time, and he actually had something to do with the Council of Trent. And he wanted it to be put into effect, because before that, there were many corruptions in the church, some which we do not know or cannot even imagine. For instance, there were actually no seminaries. It was an apprentice-type system, which, if you happen to have a good, learned priest to teach you, and a holy priest to teach you, was great. But if your priest was only concerned with eating and drinking and amassing money, then you were in bad shape. And that's what happened, generation after generation. So much corruption. The church has had to face many crises in her 2,000 years of history. We should not give up today because there's another little crisis. It seems to us to be so great, and it's a lot of things, but it's not the end of the world. Not yet. And so St. Charles began to purify his diocese. In particular, some of the greatest corruption was not among the priests of the parishes. They were out there saving souls and working. But it was the monasteries of the monks and nuns. And in fact, one of the monasteries that he tried to reform, they tried to poison him. So, and of course, it wasn't God's will, so they were taken aback and they were dismissed. They were thrown out where they belonged, to beg on the streets. And then, in the meantime, his own personal life, now obviously he was a prince of the state and a prince of the church. A cardinal is a prince of the church, even though some of them don't live like it. And he had a palace and beautiful furnishings and silver and gold and crystal and everything you can imagine. Well, he used it because it wasn't really his. It belonged to the diocese. But he used it, the cheapest of the things he had, for himself. In the meantime, he slept in a very poor bed. And in fact, when a plague came, he sold many of the things that were in his palace to buy money for medicines for and food for those who were stricken. And he even sold his bed. So he slept on the floor on a bunk, because he sold his beautiful canopied bed. Not how many bishops you find like that. And then he prayed and prayed and prayed. But he also told his, if you read his sermons, and they're available, one of his sermons is very beautiful. It tells the priests, if a person in need comes to you while you're praying, put down your prayer book and take care of the charity that you owe them. That doesn't mean that we go around looking for that, but if it comes, if God sends it, charity is more important than anything else. And he also did many, many penances. His picture is in the bulletin today, and you do not see the first reading speaks about, behold, a great priest. You do not see a fat priest. You see a very skinny cardinal with a cross on his shoulders. And what he was doing, and no shoes, he was walking from Milan to Loreto, the Holy House in Loreto. Now that's like going from Pensacola to Jacksonville on foot. And it was not flat like Florida is. It was mountainous and difficult. And when he got there, after X number of hours or days of walking, do you think he went to the palace of the bishop and go to a comfy bed? No. He went to the Holy House and he commanded them to allow him to stay there the whole night in prayer, which he did. And then in the morning, celebrated the Holy Mysteries, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, before the statue of Our Lady of Loreto in the house that was hers and Jesus and St. Joseph's. So he, for many centuries, has been regarded as the model bishop, and definitely the model bishop of the Council of Trent. And, of course, still, because there is no better. And so today we look to him to grant us holy bishops, holy priests, and a strong traditional pope to purify the church from all the filth with which she is surrounded and filled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.